So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you. God, we bless you because you created moms. You saw that it wasn't good for man to be alone, and you created someone to help him out, someone to complement, not to compete, but to complement him, and that they would have dominion together as male and female and as husband and wife. And you said, be fruitful and multiply. So, God, we honor one half of that institution that you created called marriage, and we honor the mothers this morning. God, bless all the mothers. Give them discernment. Give them wisdom, God. Give them the courage to rest in you, knowing that it's going to be all right, Lord. Help them to worship and not to worry. Help them to pray to the Holy Spirit and not try and play Holy Spirit. God, let them know that you got it. Just like you have them, you got their kids. Let them rest in you and let them trust you with all their heart. 100%. We thank you, Lord, that it's already all right. Pray for our grown kids and those that aren't grown. God, it's already all right. Because you are God and God alone. So we bless you for our mothers. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know how deep we're going today, but it is Mother's Day. You can't go deep on Mother's Day. When can you go deep? Somebody say amen. So we pick up the story. Exodus 1. Who's with me, JL? Thank you. Exodus 1, and then we pick it up at 15. So here we go. I'm going to say, as I was just trying to pull it together, this is what God gave me. This is what I'm going to try and convey this morning. The plan of a mother, the providence of God, propels a child into purpose. So let me say it again. It's the plan of a mother. It's the providence of God. Providence is two words. It's made up of pro video. God has seen the video before you have lived it. God has seen everything before you have lived it. That's his providence. And things happen according to God's providence because he's already seen it. And then we just have to walk in it in obedience to God. So the plan of a mother, the providence of God, and which propels a child into purpose. And mothers and fathers, we have to be proactive because there is always an enemy trying to prevent our children from reaching their purpose. So let me say it again. Mothers and fathers, we have to be proactive because there is an enemy that's trying to prevent our children from reaching their purpose. And when I say proactive, I mean that we're praying and we're fasting daily for our kids. Not as a ritual, but because, God, I know that you can do what I can't do. You can see what I can't see. You can be where I can't be. It's not a morning that I don't pray and fast for my kids. It's going probably 15 years back. Before then, you know, you get busy and you're doing your thing. Well, pastor, you're a pastor. You're supposed to be. No, I've been pastoring for 7 years. I said I've been praying and fasting for my kids for 15 years. When it hit me that we can get up and do all this other stuff. And God said, if you could give me some time like that, it will change your life. We get up and we go to the gym every morning. And God said, if you can get up and come seek me like that every morning, your life will change. It will transform. Still go to the gym, but give God his first. Somebody say amen. Because you need to be healthy. Thank you, Sister Yvonne. Nobody else wants to. You need to eat right. All right, okay. After Mother's Day brunch, all right? So we pick it up in 15. And the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of one was Shiphrah and the other Puah. Their names mean fair and splendid. So he speaks to fair and splendid. He said, remember, he's speaking to the Hebrew wives. He said, when you do the office of a midwife, to the Hebrew women. So when you take care of your kind and see them upon the stools, and the stool is just that same word, believe it or not, is the same word that's used in Jeremiah, where he says that you're he's the potter and you're the clay, and they put you on the wheel. So in some kind of way, it's the wheel, the birthing wheel is the same as when God puts on the wheel and we're born again. That's why you must be born again. God is the potter and we are the clay. And so he's saying when that new baby is about to be born, if you see it being a son, then you kill it. But if it's a daughter, then she shall live. Wow. How deep do we go on how deep do we go on Mother's Day? Boy, we're going deep this morning. We say deep, but not complicated. Ain't gonna get complicated, but we're gonna get deep. The king speaks to the Hebrew midwives named Fair and Splendid, basically tell them to kill their own. Satan still uses strategies in the form of gangs and drugs and any other type of stupid sin, and to have us to kill our own, which is the human race. Please make sure you're listening to the King of Kings and not some other king, not some other false god. Make sure you are committed to the Lord of Lords and not some president or some leader or some boss or anyone who would have you act or live contrary to the word of God. Let me say that again. Make sure you are committed to the Lord of Lords and not some president or leader or boss who would have you live contrary to the word of God. Don't care if this guy was the Pharaoh of Egypt, the king of Egypt. The ladies knew that I'm not going to kill. I'm going to kill a kid, especially someone of my own family. Verse 17, but the midwives feared God. Underline that. They feared God. So when you break the word fear down, because we have a problem with that and we need to understand what it means when they fear God. Okay, so if you don't have it written down, the fear, when you break it down in the Hebrew and in the Greek, it means that they respected the awesomeness of God, which can't compare to some king that's heading up a nation. So because they respected the awesomeness of God, they saved the men children alive. Okay, JL, take us to, let's look at a little bit of the, just a quick study on fear. JL, take us to Proverbs 1 and 7. Proverbs 1 and 7. The fear of the Lord, respecting the awesomeness of the Lord, is the beginning of knowledge. See, that's why some people, why don't they just understand? Because they don't respect God. If you don't respect God, you don't care about God. And you'll always be somewhat ignorant or stupid or considered a fool. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. In order to understand God, you got to respect the awesomeness of God. If you don't respect the awesomeness of God, you'll do whatever you want to do because God doesn't even exist. That's why they're trying so hard to get rid of God and everything. So I can do whatever I do and have no conviction, have no restraints, because God doesn't even exist. So I take God out of schools and now we got shootings in school. But if you take God out, what do you expect? Take God out of your home and see what's going to happen in your home. Imagine a world without God, a world without the church. But if you don't understand that, if you don't respect the awesomeness of God, then you'll live your life any way you want to. According to some boss or some president or some false god, because you don't really understand. JL, take us to Psalms 34. I had to do one. Although it has nothing to do with fear, but I'm in Psalms 34. So Psalms 34, 1. This is just a side note for y'all. Y'all know I have ADHD when I study. I will bless the Lord at all times. Somebody, that's for somebody this morning. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That's how the Psalms 34 starts. Family, whether we're being successful, whether we're in the midst of transition, or whether we just blew it and feel like a failure, you better get up and you better bless the Lord at all times. God speaks in each and every situation. We just don't stay silent and still enough to hear. And many of us, we can look back at our life and see what God has done, and we can bless God and say, God is good. It didn't feel good at the time. Somebody say amen. It didn't look good. It didn't feel good. But I will bless the Lord now, because based on his history, I know that he's working for my good. Jill, take us to 34 and 7. That's Psalms 34 and 7. This is a quick pause and we'll get back to the lesson. But I want you to understand, it says the angel of the Lord encamps, surrounds about them, that respects the awesomeness of God and delivers them. He says, if you respect my awesomeness, I got you covered. I got you surrounded, and I'm going to deliver you. If you don't, then you take your chances and deal with the consequences. God's not saying be afraid of him, but you got to respect God's awesomeness. You better understand that we're just mere actors in God's play. He's not a actor in our play that we created. God created us. We didn't create him. Take it to next one. 8 JL. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man or the woman that trusts in him. Underline family. I can't teach you to trust God. God, we love you. Help us to trust you. You got to trust God for yourself. That's what we can't do for each other. But when you get up and you praying for your kids and your family and your job and your business and you're trusting God, you will see how good God really is. 9, JL, take us to 9. Then we get back to the fear. Oh, respect the awesomeness of the Lord, you saints, for there is no want, there is no lack to them that respect his awesomeness. You ain't got to worry about that. God got you covered. Amen. Saints. We're not angels, but we are saints. Why? Because we've been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. You go to your job, you know, I'm a saint. They go, you ain't no saint. You was doing, you know what you was doing last night. You know what you was thinking. They don't understand the word. It's not based on what we do. It's because it's based on what God has already done. We are sanctified through the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, we are saints. You might not have been living like one last night, but remember who you are. That's who you are. In Christ, you probably didn't speak to your spouse or your homies in a sanctified voice or language. But that's who you are. Don't forget who you are. Satan wants to try and tell you who you're not. You got to remember who you are, what the word says that you are. How about 10? What does 10 say? The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And let's finish with 11, JL. It's all about trust. Come ye children, listen to me. I will teach you how to respect the awesomeness of God. That's what the word teaches us, to respect the awesomeness of God. All right, let's head on back to Exodus. Exodus 17, 1 and 17, JL. Says, but the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them. Now we understand what they did. They respected the awesomeness of God because they were connected to God. Family, stay connected to God. They saved the men, children alive. It's always attack on the men, the male seed. When Jesus was born, they were trying to kill the kids 2 years and younger. They had to take Jesus all the way to Egypt and hide him. When I was in Egypt in 2008, we went to that place where they hid Jesus in Egypt. It's like a basement, and we went down there, and it's a church built on top of it. Somebody say amen. In Egypt. Because that's where they hid Christ at. Because it was attack on the male seed. Now, I have to tell you, in society, God help us. Satan is not. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He's not letting up. But we thank God he's come to give us life and that more abundantly. So I have it written down. It says, read this. God supersedes a king or a president. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
God takes precedent over a king or president or your boss. That's why God said, you respect my awesome, so I got you covered. And you ain't going to lack nothing. But family, you got to be connected. The enemy, Satan, has always tried to kill babies and men. Oh, here we go. Look at society today. We kill thousands of babies today and call it a choice. And God calls it murder. Ooh, Pastor, I know. What did he said, abort the babies. That's the word. I'm not getting into politics. I'm just telling you what the word says. Kill them. And he was saying kill them after they're born. And which they just passed a law in New York where the baby's born and has some defect or something and you don't really like it. You say, I don't really want that. It's called infanticide. They just passed a law. But you kill the baby after it's born. You don't want it. It's nothing new under the sun. Make a note. Family, there ain't nothing new under the sun. They were doing it back then. They're doing it now. Evil, sin, Satan has always been around since the garden. You got to determine who you're going to listen to. That's all. I'm just teaching the word. It's not the unforgivable sin. This is not the shame anyone who's maybe had an abortion or some of us men who's encouraged someone to have, oh no, you need to get rid of that. That's not what this is about, because it's not the unforgivable sin, but it does need to be confessed and repented and forsaken. We've all done stupid things. Somebody say amen. So guys, I was studying this morning and last night, God was saying, I died for you. While you were yet sinners, I died for you. I died for you when you were stupid. So don't try and get smart now. Okay, God, I got it. Confess and repent. God said, I died for that. I died when you were stupid. Don't try and get smart on me now. Society's culture is so hypocritical and has such a double standard. We are in disbelief when there's a school shooting and so worried about our innocent kids at school. However, those of us that's worked in the school district, we know they're not that innocent. Somebody say amen. High school shooting group of innocent kids. Let me tell you one thing. They're not that innocent. Except for our high school students. Y'all was, Serena, we know you go to, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We know, yeah, JL, praise the Lord with your Bible. Yes. Someone's going to get saved today. See, our kids, except for, you know, I remember when y'all were in school, y'all were so nice and we love you, so innocent. Just our kids in here, but the other ones, I don't know if they're that innocent. Okay? And so we just in shock, how could that? And then we killed millions of babies a year, and as if we could care less about an unborn life. I got this in my notes. Did I say Happy Mother's Day? Okay, all right. Happy Mother's Day. All right. But look at this. All right, let me find it real quick, and then we'll go there really quickly. Let me find it really quickly. I would have wrote it down, but I was all over the place. I didn't write it down, but I know where it is. Okay. Let's go to Judges. Okay, Judges 13:3, JL. Make it 13:2. I might as well make it 13:1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Somebody underline that. I don't care what society says is good, bad, or not. You got to make sure you know what God says. Because here's the problem right here. They did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And society tell you it's okay and it's all good and everybody's doing it and you're not hurting anybody. But you better understand who your number one audience is. It is God. So they did evil in the sight of the Lord, which is a game changer. And the Lord delivered them into the hands of their enemies for 40 years. There was a certain man, verse 2 of Zoran, the family of Danites, whose name was Manoah. His wife was barren and bare not. He has a wife. She had no kids. I was talking to my daughter, Jamaica, yesterday, and it was, then I was telling her how back in the day, if you, in this culture, in this time, if you didn't have any kids, they figured it was some type of sin you committed, and you can't have a kid. So they looked down upon women for that, which is unfortunate. But verse 3, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now you are barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not anything unclean. For lo, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the what? From the womb. So while he's in, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. God is saying, while that child is in the womb, he already told you what that child is going to do. So whether it's in the womb or outside of the womb, God already knows about the child. The child is alive. He said, you shall conceive and you're going to have a son. It's already alive. God says from the womb. Not once he's out, he's going to do great things. But while he's there, he's already been identified by God. This is a word, family. All right, let's go back. So let's be clear when life starts, according to God, at conception. God already has him identified. Let's go back to verse 18. Exodus 1 and 18. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwife said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are alive. They are alive. They have abundant life. Ladies, mothers, because the mothers that are connected to Christ, they're not like ordinary women. They're alive. They have abundant life. They have discernment. They have wisdom. They have favor from God. It's something different about them. They deliver before the midwives come unto them. 20. Therefore, God... underline God. Therefore, God dealt with the midwives. That word dealt in the Hebrew, God blessed them. Make a note, when you're obedient to God, he blesses you. The king said, kill him. God said, no, you save him. God blessed them. God blessed them. Elohim, it's the plural. It's the Trinity that blessed them. All right, I'm trying to finish this up. Actually, I'm not, but anyway. Therefore, God blessed well the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. Verse 21, it came to pass because the midwives, what? Respected the awesomeness of God, that he built them houses. Are you serious? See, that's what the word is trying to tell us. When we commit to God 100%, God says, I have you. When we respect the awesomeness of God and trust God, moms, God has you. You're all worried about our kids and all that. I get it. But remember, God saved us. The men and I was talking to one of my good friends yesterday, and he's been to the church and he attends another ministry. They've been on our couples retreats, and we were just talking about our kids. And the men, sometimes we talk about it when we were our kids' age. We were a mess. And we said, but God saved us. So why are we thinking that our kids can't be reached by God? He had to reach way deep to pull us out. He just got to kind of get them off the top. Just come here. And we all stressed out and came. You guys just think about it. This is what God is saying. Trust me. Respect my awesomeness. I got you. Yes, we will have afflictions. Yes, we will have issues that we have to deal with because we live in a fallen world. There's no way around that. Family, if the world wasn't fallen, then we wouldn't have the issues. But we do. But in the midst of the issues and the afflictions and the trials, we trust God. It's the only way. It's the only way. Verse 22, and Pharaoh charged his people. Now he said these midwives, they got this God thing going. So he calls the Egyptians. He calls his people now. They're not going to kill him. Verse 22. And he commanded his people, saying, every son that is born, you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. So the Hebrews not going to do it. They're not going to kill their own. They respect God. They got this God thing going. But I'm telling y'all that don't do. So here's what I was trying to get to from the beginning. Chapter 2:1. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and she saw that he was goodly, that word, that he was blessed and highly favored. She looked at her newborn baby in some kind of way. God said that baby's blessed and highly favored. When she looked at it, if you abort that baby before it's born, you don't get a chance to look at it and see what God has for it when you see it. And kids have been aborted that were blessed and highly favored and never made it because the enemy. But then look, make a note. Here's a revelation. Here's a revelation. While the enemy is trying to destroy, has a plan to destroy God's people, God is having born the deliverer of his people. Let me say it again. He's on his hand. So while it seems like your life is falling apart over here, God already has a plan to build up and deliver your life on this side. Amen. The enemy's up to no good, but God said, don't you be. He's killing. Now the deliverer is being born in the midst of the killings. In the midst of adversity, God has already got a plan. Somebody say amen and stop worrying. Trust God and stop worrying in the midst of what the enemy is doing. God said, watch this. Watch this. Watch this. So we talked about the plan. So the mother has a plan. Then watch the providence. And then it turns into purpose. And the woman, verse 2, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was blessed and highly favored, she hid him for 3 months. That's the plan. I don't know what, but see, looking at this kid, like, what are you? There's something special about this kid. And I've seen you all, and you go to somebody's, they have a baby, and you go visit, you go, that's a beautiful baby, and you know you're lying, but you got to say it because, oh, that's a beautiful baby. And you know you're lying. And now some are really pretty. You go, look, I say this all, you know, sometimes that's a pretty baby. I know people say it, but that's a really pretty baby. This one. All right. So she looked at this baby and said, oh, man, it's something special. She hid it for 3 months. Look at this. Look at this. Look at the providence. The madness is going on, but God is working in the river, in the swamp, so to speak, because the reeds and the bushes and God's working and you don't even have a clue. When she could no longer hide him, she took him for an ark, built something like a bassinet. And put the child in, and she put it in the flags or the reeds of the water and just sat it there. Verse 4, and his sister stood afar off to watch what was being done. So he had an older sister. She sees the mom putting it right there in the water and everything. The big sister is looking, what is mom doing with my brother putting it right there? Okay? And the daughter of Pharaoh just happened to. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Then said his sister. So the big sister is still watching. She's watching. She sees it, the Pharaoh's daughter come take a bath, send her maid over, and Pharaoh's daughter picks it up. Then a little sister comes over. Hey, ma'am, excuse me. Then said his sister, the sister to the baby. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew children that she may nurse the child for you? Can I go get somebody? Look at that beautiful kid. Can I go get somebody that can nurse it? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go, and the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto the mother, take this child away. Are you serious? Come on. Come on, God. Somebody need to stop worrying right now. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me. And guess what? I'm going to give you some money to do it. Your own child. Go take your own child, nurse it, and I'm going to pay you to do it. See, look, she had the baby. She let the baby live. And then look who God sent to adopt the baby. You don't know what's going to happen with that kid. Put it up for adoption. You don't know who's going to come and adopt that baby. Have the baby. Put it up for adoption and let God work out the details. And the woman took the child and nursed it. Are you serious? Let me see if I got any more. Read this down here. I don't want y'all to miss anything. And the child grew. Bless you. The child grew and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter. She became her son. She adopted. You don't know who's going to adopt it. She got adopted by Pharaoh's son, second in charge. And Pharaoh's daughter, Pharaoh's in control, his daughter. And now that's the son. God set it all up. It happened. For the last 4 years, my wife and I, we've had the opportunity to work with foster youth. And Tanya, through your office, too, with the Foster Youth Achievement Program, we were able to host a graduation out at LMU for them the last 4 years. And we have guest speakers that come that's been adopted in group homes and foster. And it's some amazing people out there. Amen. You would see somebody go, and I'm sitting with these guys. So, yeah, I've been... So you're the head of FBI, you're second, and I was a foster. I didn't grow up with my mom. I went from group home. So you're in it, and you don't know what that kid's going to be. You can't count them out. You just got to be obedient to God. And for those of us that have kids, just know that God has them. And the child grew, and she brought him into Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name. Are you kidding me? Moses. This is how Moses started. Could have never made it but God. You and I, our kids, could have never made it but God. And Tracy, I told him when you were out here, so I tell him I wanted to honor you and say thank you for being the mother that you are. And I told him I wouldn't be nowhere near where I am without you. And I reckon I'm smart enough to understand that. Somebody say amen. And I told him, I don't know if you was with us when I was talking to Jalen, but Jalen was saying, Dad, I really appreciate what you've done for me, but I know I wouldn't be nowhere near where I am without Mom. So when he calls you and stresses you out, just know that he appreciates it. Okay? You know what your son said. You know what your son is. Honey, it's all right. And that was pretty profound. I love that dude for being man enough to say that, you know, and the things that he's learned from his mom. And so then look at this. This is how Moses started. His name is Moses because he drew him out of the water. Let's end like this, family. Let's go. JL, take us. Everybody, if you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews 11 and 23. Let's end like this today. Moms, be encouraged. I am telling you. You got to see this. Hebrews 11:23. They have this thing called the Heroes of Faith, which make it to the Hall of Faith. Most people on the world are trying to get to the Hall of Fame. There's a place called the Hall of Faith where God's warriors are. Those who didn't know what to do but trust God. You get a chance, you read Hebrews 11. Chapter 11 talks about what faith is. Trusting God 100%. Family, I hope we all make it into the Hall of Faith. But it starts with respecting the awesomeness of God that gets you into the Hall of Faith. Look what it says in verse 23, 11:23. If you're there, say amen. You want to see this. By faith, and that word faith, by trusting God, by committing to God, not just believing, because the word tells us how the devils believe, but they tremble because they already know that Christ is coming for them and they're done. But this word faith, it says by trusting God, surrendering to God, committing your life to God. That's what faith means. It's a whole nother level of commitment and connectedness with God. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Underline it's his parents. We know the mom did it, but she had the approval of the dad. Somebody say amen. Man, it's okay to listen to your wife. Somebody say amen. Amen. They are in the Hall of Faith. Because they saw he was a proper, he was a blessed child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. They didn't live in fear. They lived in faith. What we say, Jerry, forward in faith. Faith overrides fear. Trusting God overrides being afraid of people. Make a note, God was with Moses from the beginning to the end. Let me read that again. They made it into the Hall of Faith. And if you look at it, you in the Hall of Faith, you got Noah, you got Abraham and Sarah, you got Isaac, you got Jacob, you got Joseph, you got Moses' parents. You got Moses, he made it to the Hall of Faith. You got Joshua, you got Rahab, who's a harlot. No matter how you start, it matters how you finish with God. Rahab's in the Hall of Faith. Look at verse 32. Let's finish with this, family, because this where you and I, this is our goal, to hear God say, well done, our good and faithful servant, when we enter into his presence and we make it to the Hall of Faith because we trusted God. Verse 32, and what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David, Samuel, the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, fought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, grew valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And the others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yeah, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in the sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, in dens, caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having, look at this, God having provided something better, a better thing for us, that but them without us cannot be complete. So we complete the Hall of Faith. The better promise we have is Christ. Some of them didn't have Christ. We do. But they're not complete until we step into glory with them and complete the Hall of Faith. Somebody say amen. So as we close out, I want to pray for the moms, all the mothers, the grandmothers. I just want you to come up here. And I want all the moms and the grandmothers to come up. And just stand right here, because we love you and we bless you, moms. Right here, moms. And of course, I want the, if the children are here, any moms or grandmoms, you come in. Tracy's right here, standing. Yeah, right here. Right here. Face me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, y'all face me. And if the children are here, come and just put your shoulder on the hand of your mom or grandmom. Let's step up a little bit, because I didn't know it was. We got a lot of moms and stuff in here today. It's a lot of y'all's. It's a lot of y'all's is in here. And moms and grandmoms, great grandmoms. We appreciate you dearly. All I can say is, I mean, at this stage, all we can do is trust God. You can't go backwards. You got to go forward in faith and not backwards in fear. And just know that God has it covered. Trust the scriptures. Trust the author of the scriptures. Everybody touch everybody as we sing. He's a faithful God. He doesn't change. Yes, Lord. Go ahead, John, and just sing a couple of verses. The first two. Go on and sing that as we just stand here. Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. And moms, just think about how faithful God has been. Yes, Lord. How God has always been there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being with our moms, Lord. For dealing with us. For enduring the pregnancy with us. From that first cry. To the last breath. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. Thank you for the moms, Lord. Yes, yes. Cover our moms, Lord. Give them wisdom. Give them wisdom, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You've been so faithful. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for our mothers. Thank you, Lord, so much. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful, Lord. God, we couldn't do it without you. We need you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And always.
Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord. Bless our children, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Merlin, Dominique, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The future, Lord. So bright with you, Lord, and so bright with you. Yes.
You are holy one. Overwhelmed.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yahweh. Yahweh. Faithful God.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Here to stay.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Faithful God, you're here to stay. Yahweh, Yahweh.
Lord, we thank you and we bless you. We love you. You've come to give us life and that more abundantly. We pronounce a blessing on your mothers, your children, your godly examples, Lord, through the ups and the downs, Lord. You've been faithful and they've been faithful. Mothers, thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for praying for us and caring for us, giving of yourself so that we could have. We love you for that. Lord, we pray that you would bless them just like you blessed the midwives. Bless them for their faithfulness, Lord. And we know that you'll do it. May they believe their way and trust their way right into the hall of faith with the other believers that endured. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hug a mother. Hug a mother and you are dismissed.
I want to give you a gift.
Thank you.
God bless you. Can I give you a gift?
Yes,
South Bay Church.
South Bay Abundant Life Church.
Thank you.
That's your dad. Hey, this is my buddy.
Thank you so much. From Arizona.
Okay, amen. Yes. Thank you so much for being here.
He just is a mother to me. I'll be right back.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you did.
So I just said, I'll wait for my daughter.
Oh, that's right.